Welcome to Zichu Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avraham Goldar, and today we're Sechus Sukkah, Daf Ramad Beis, the third parak, Lulav HaGazel. So the three topics are going to focus on. Number one, Rapapa asks, Nechaka HaTiyomas Mahu, if the Tiyomas is split in two, what is the halacha? The Tiyomas is the middle double leaf that grows from the top of the Lulav spine and forms its tip. Rashi explains that the leaf is called the Tiyomas because the leaves are attached like Te'umim, twins. Rapapa is asking in a case where the Tiyomas is split all the way down to the spine so that the top of the spine is split. The Gemara answers, Rabbi Yochan said in the name of Yeshua ben Levi, Nitla Tiyomas Pasul. If the Tiyomas was removed, the Lulav is Pasul. My love, Duhua Din Nechukha, is it not presumable that the same halacha applies if the Tiyomas is split? The Gemara assumes that the removal of the Tiyomas makes the Lulav Pasul because it then lacks Hadar, and the same would apply when it's split. The Gemara rejects this answer, saying that the case of where the Tiyomas was removed is different, the Ha'achasole, because then the Lulav is deficient. Another version of Rabbi Yochanan's statement has him state that a split tumas is considered as if it's removed and the lulav is pasul. Pointing to Ravina said to Ravashi, on what basis do we know that Kapos Tamarim requires us to take a lulav, which is the pliant palm branch whose leaves hug its spine? Ema Karusa, say that the Torah refers to a hardened branch. Rashi explains that this is a palm tree branch that has hardened for 2 or 3 years. Many stems branch off the central one and have hardened and point in different directions. Ravashi responded, Be'ina kafus b'leku. We require that the lulav be tied together, and this condition is lacking in a hardened branch. When Ravina counters ve'ema ufsa, but say that the pasuk refers to a log from the trunk of the palm tree, Ravashi responded, Kapus m'kod de'eka paru. The expression tied up implies that there is a possibility for it to be separated. V'hai kapus v'omud l'olam. And this one, referring to the log, is permanently tied up. When they were asked, ve'ema kufra, but say that the pasuk refers to a palm shoot, which is a branch that is 1 or 2 years old and has begun to harden, but the stems protruding from it still can be bent back and tied to it. Abaye said, Dorecheh Dorechei Noam, v'chol nisivoseh ha'shalom. Its ways are pleasantness and all its pathways are peace. Rashi explains that since a palm shoot has thorny projections, it's unpleasant for one to hold. And point number 3, he was taught in Bryce regarding identifying a hadas, anaf eitz avos, sha'anafav, chofim es eitzo. The term a shoot of the plaited tree refers to a species whose shoots cover its branches. And which species is this? It's a hadas. Another Bryce described the hadas. The term shoot of the plaited tree implies kalua kamin klia v'domu shalshalas, that the tree's leaves are plaited like a braid and similar to an interlocking chain. And this is the reference to a hadas. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says the term refers to eitz shetam eitz ovapirio shava, a tree whose wood and fruit taste alike, which is a reference to hadas. The Gemara asks what the case is of a twig that is plaited, and Rav Yudah said that it's where the leaves stand tlasa tlasa of tarpe vikina, in clusters of 3 on each base. Rav Kahana said afil trei v'chad, even if they stand in pairs with a third one overlapping each pair. So once again, the 3 points are number 1. Rav Papa asked nechaka tiyomas mahu, if the tiyomas are split in two, what is the halacha? The tiyomas is the middle double leaf that grows from the top of the lulav spine and forms its tip. Rashi explains that the leaf is called the tiyomas because the leaves are detached like Te'umim, twins. Rav Papa is asking, in a case where the tumas is split all the way down to the spine, so that the top of the spine is split. The Gemara answers, the Rav Yochanan said in the Imre Shuben Levi, Nitla tumas pasul. If the tumas was removed, the lulav is pasul. My love, Duhua din Nechukha, is it not presumable that the same halacha applies if the tumas is split? The Gemara assumes that the removal of the tumas makes the lulav pasul, because it then lacks hadar, and the same would apply when it's split. The Gemara rejects this answer, saying that the case where the tumas was removed is different, daha chasole, because then the lulav is deficient. Another version of Rabbi Yochanan's statement has him state that a split tumas is considered as if it's removed and the lulav is pasul. Point number 2, Ravina said to Ravashi, on what basis do we know that Kapos Tamarim requires us to take a lulav, which is a pliant palm branch whose leaves hug its spine? Ema Charusa, say that the Torah refers to a hardened branch. Rashi explains that this is a palm tree branch that has hardened for 2 or 3 years. Many stems branch off the central one and have hardened and point in different directions. Ravashi responded, Be'in and Kapos Veleka, we require that the lulav be tied together, and this condition is lacking in a hardened branch. When Ravina counters ve'ema ufsa, but say the pasuk's referring to a log from the trunk of the palm tree, Ravashi responded, kafus m'kal de'eka parud. The expression tied up implies that there's a possibility for it to be separated. V'hai kafus va'omud olam. And this one, this log, is permanently tied up. When the Gemara asks ve'ema kufra, but say the pasuk refers to a palm shoot, which is a branch that is 1 or 2 years old and has begun to harden, but the stems protruding from it still can be bent back and tied to it, Abai said, Dorecheh Dorechei Noam v'chol nisivoseh ha'shalom. Its ways are pleasantness, and all its pathways are peace. Rashi explains that since a palm shoot has thorny projections, it's unpleasant for one to hold. And point number 3, was taught in a brayso regarding identifying a hadas, anav eitz avos, sha'anafav chofin es eitzo. The term a shoot of the plaited tree refers to a species whose shoots cover its branches. And which species is this? It's a hadas. Another bright to describe the hadas, the term shoot of the plaited tree implies kalua can mean klia v'domo shalshelas, that the tree's leaves are plaited like a braid and similar to an interlocking chain, and this is a reference to a hadas. Rabbi Yezim Yaakov says the term refers to eitz, shetam eitzo v'pir yoshava, a tree whose wood and fruit taste alike, which is a reference to a hadas. The Gemara asks what the case is of a twig that is plaited, and Rabbi Yehuda said that's where the leaves stand, tlasa tlasa tarbi v'kina, in clusters of three on each base. Rav Kahana said, "Avu trei v'chad, even if they stand in pairs, with a third one overlapping each pair." All right, so now we go to the siman for Daf Lamed Beis, and our standard siman is a mad scientist in a lab. A mad scientist in a lab. So here goes: the mad scientist working in a sukkah lab on developing a species of lulav where the tumas never split ended up producing a mutant thorny lulav that was plaited like a braid and looked more like a hadas. Once again, in slow motion. The mad scientist working in a sukkah lab. Mad scientist in a lab? That must be learned off Lamed Beis. The mad scientist working in a sukkah lab on developing a species of lulav where the tumas never split, which reminds us, Rav Papa asks, what the halakha is in a case where the tumas is split all the way down to the spine so that the top of the spine is split. The Gemara gives two different versions of what Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, one suggesting that the tumas is kosher, whereas if it was removed, it'd be pasul. The other one saying that a split tumas is as if it's removed. So the mad scientist working in a sukkah lab on developing a species of lulav where the tumas never split ended up producing a mutant thorny lulav, which reminds us, Ravina said to Rav Ashi, on what basis do we know that kapos tamarim requires us to take a lulav, which is the pliant palm branch whose leaves hug its spine? So a number of alternatives are suggested which are rejected, one being that the Gemara has ve'ema kufra, but say the pasuk refers to a palm shoot, which is a branch that is 1 or 2 years old and has begun to harden, but the stems protruding from it still can be bent back and tied to it. Abai said, its ways are pleasantness and all its pathways are peace. Rashi explains that since a palm shoot has thorny projections, it's unpleasant for one to hold. So the mad scientist working in a sukkah lab on developing a species of lulav where the tumas never split ended up producing a mutant thorny lulav that was plaited like a braid and looked more like a hadas. Which reminds us, it was taught in Brice regarding identifying a hadas, anav eitz avos, sha'anafav chofim es eitzo. The term a shoot of the plaited tree refers to a species whose shoots cover its branches, which is a hadas. Another Brice has stated that the term shoot of the plaited tree implies kalua can mean klia v'domun shalshelas, that the tree's leaves are plaited like a braid and similar to an interlocking chain, and this is a reference to hadas. The Gemara asks, what's the case of a twig that's plaited? And Rav Yehuda said, it's where the leaves stand, tlasa tlasa tarpe bikina, in clusters of three on each base. Rav Kahana said, afilo trei v'chad, even if they stand in pairs, with a third one overlapping each pair. So once again, the mad scientist working in a sukkah lab on developing a species of lulav, where the tumas never split, ended up producing a mutant thorny lulav that was plaited like a braid and looked more like a hadas. All right, now we go to our four blot back chazorah. Daf Chav Ches. So the Simur Chav Ches is a strong man, Koach, a strong man. So here goes. The strong man, that must be more in Daf Chav Ches. The strong man who was furious when birds kept burning up over a sukkah and falling over his heavy weights, which reminds us that it was Tana Brice at Hillel Zaken and 80 Talmudim, 30 of whom were worthy that the Shekhinah should rest upon them as it did on Moshe Benu, 30 of whom were worthy that the sun should stand still for them as it did for Yeshua ben Nun, and there were 20 who ranked in between them. The greatest of them was Yonas ben Uziel, and the least of them was Rabbi Yochim ben Zaken. After enumerating all the capabilities of Rabbi Yochim ben Zaken, that it says about Yonas ben Uziel that when he sat and learned Torah, any bird that flew over him was immediately burned. So the strong man who was furious when birds kept burning up over a sukkah and falling all over his heavy weights stormed past a group of women eating outside the sukkah, which reminds us, the Gemara asks why we need a halakha l'mush misinai to teach that women are putz from sukkah if it's a mitzvah zase shazman grama. Abai answered that it's needed as otherwise one might have thought teshu kein teduro. The Torah's command, you shall dwell in sukkahs, implies you should dwell in a sukkah the same way you dwell at home. Just as in a home a man and his wife dwell together, so too in a sukkah a man and his wife should dwell together. Rava said that halakha moshe misina is necessary to exempt women from sukkah, for one might have thought that the gezer shava of chamishasar, the link sukkahs to Pesach, comes to teach that just as women are chayv in achilas matzah, even though it's a mitzvah zaseshas mangrama, so too they're chayv in sukkah. So the strong man who was furious when birds kept burning up over a sukkah and falling all over his heavy weights stormed past a group of women eating outside the sukkah and broke down the door only to find a little old man learning chumash and reviewing Mishnayos. Which reminds us, a brisa describes how a person should make a sukkah dear as keva, such as bringing his nice kalim and beautiful linens to the sukkah, also states, Mishanim besukkah. He analyzes his Torah learning in the sukkah. The Gemara asks if this is correct, since Rava said that reading Chumash and reviewing Mishnah should be done in the sukkah, but analyzing the Torah can be done outside the sukkah. Rashi explains that the fresh air outside helps one have a clear mind. The Gemara answers, the brisa is referring to reviewing material that he already clarified, whereas Rava is referring to new material. Daf Chav Tes, so the Simur Chav Tes is a cot. So here goes. As the empty cot, that must be more than Daf Chav Tes. As the empty cot in the sukkah got soaked from the rain, while the family ate inside, which reminds us, it was taught in the Brisa that if one was eating in a sukkah and it began raining and he left the sukkah and continued his meal in his house, that even if it stops raining, we do not trouble him to go back into the sukkah until he finishes his meal and wishes to eat another meal. Rashi explains that once he sat down to continue his meal, he's no longer chayev to return to the sukkah, even if it stops raining. And similarly, if one was sleeping in the sukkah and began raining, and he left his sukkah and went to sleep in his house, even if it stops raining, we do not trouble him to go back to the sukkah until it becomes light when dawn begins to break. So as the empty cot in the sukkah got soaked from the rain, while the family ate inside, the master poured a pitcher on the face of a thief, which reminds us the Mishnah brought a mushroom from when one is forced out of the sukkah because of rain, to what is compared to a slave who came to pour wine for his master, and he poured a pitcher of water on his face. The Gemara here brings a brice that clarifies that it's as if the master spilled a pitcher of water on the slave's face and said to him, I don't desire your service. So as the empty cot in the sukkah got soaked from the rain, while the family ate inside, the master poured a pitcher on the face of a thief, who tried to sneak in and steal his lulav. Which reminds the opening mission of the third parak states, lulav ha-gazel v'hiyavish pasal. A stolen lulav or a dry one is pasal. Gemara asks regarding a stolen lulav that it's understandable that on the first day of the chag, it's pasal because it's written lachem. You shall take for yourselves on the first day the dal of meaning, which implies mishalachem, they should be your own property. But why on the second day of the chag should a stolen lulav be pasal? Rabbi Yochanan said, in the name of Mishim Bar Yochai, Mishim dehavli mitzvah hababa aver, because it's a mitzvah that's brought about through an avera. An object that's acquired through an avera is unfit for use in the performance of a mitzvah. Daf Lamed. So the Simur Daf Lamed is a Melamed, or a Rebbe. So here goes. The Rebbe, that must be more in Daf Lamed, Melamed. The Rebbe riding on a lame goat who made sure all his Talmudim paid the toll, which reminds us that the source for a mitzvah of Baba Aver comes from a comparison in the Pasuk that links stolen offerings to lame ones, just as a lame animal cannot be repaired as the blemish renders it permanently unfit to be offered, so too a stolen offering cannot be repaired, and it makes no difference whether it's before Yeush or after Yeush. The more then brings the mush of a king paying his own tolls to serve as an example to travelers to not avoid the tolls, with the nimshal being that Hashem wants Yin to learn from him to distance themselves from theft. So the Rebbe riding on a lame goat who made sure all his Talmidim paid the toll got stopped by cops searching for stolen lulaving being used on the second day of Sukkot, which reminds us the Gemara brings Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani who said in the name of Shmuel that a stolen lulav is only possible on the first day of Yantav. But on the second day of the Chag and thereafter, the rule is that since a person can be Yotze with a bold lulav, he can be Yotze with a stolen one. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani holds that the only reason a stolen lulav cannot be used on the first day is the Torah's requirement that it be his own property. Just as on the second day he may use a borrowed lulav, he may use a stolen one. So the Rebbe riding on a lame goat who made sure all his Talmidim paid the toll got stopped by cops searching for stolen lulavim being used on the second day of Sukkot, while a nearby merchant instructed Nachman to cut hadassim twigs before giving them to him. Which reminds us of Rav Huna's guidance to the Dal of Mini merchants regarding selling hadassim, that they should let the Nachrim cut the twigs themselves, since Nachrim generally steal the land in which the hadassim and trees grow, the karka and in exelis, but land cannot be stolen. This way, the Yesh Balim will be in the Nachri's hands, and then Shinui Rishus will be in the merchant's hands. Daf Lamed Aleph, so the Sim Daf Lamed Aleph is the law, we use a judge. So here goes. The woman screaming at the judge, judge, that must be Daf Lamed Aleph, the law. The woman screaming at the judge sitting in the sukkah made from wood she claimed was stolen, which reminds us that a brisa stated, Gazal Eitzim V'sicha Behen Divrei Kol Ein Lo Ela Deme Eitzim. If one stole pieces of wood and made a sukkah with them, all agree that the original owner has the right to receive only the value of the wood, and the robber may keep the sukkah. And the Gemara brings an incident of the elderly woman who screamed at Rav Nachman, who was sitting in a sukkah made of wood that was stolen from her, and he told her that all she gets is the Deme Eitzim. So the woman screaming at the judge sitting in the sukkah made from wood she claimed was stolen became enraged when he gave her a dry lulav and an old esrog as compensation and told her they were kosher. Which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa yavish pasul, Rabbi Yehuda makshir. A dry lulav is pasul, but Rabbi Yehuda is makshir. Rava said that the machlokes pertains to a lulav, but not to the esrog. The Rabban Sabri makshin lulav le'esrog, for the Rabban hold that we make a hekesh between the lulav and the esrog as follows. Ma esrog by hadar, af lulav by hadar. Just as the esrog requires beauty, so too the lulav requires beauty, whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds that we do not make the hekesh and the lulav does not require beauty. Rava continued, however, concerning the Esrog, everybody agrees it requires beauty. The Gemara refutes this on the fact that Rav Yehuda is Makshir, an old Esrog. So the woman, screaming at the judge sitting in the sukkah made from wood she claimed was stolen, became enraged when he gave her a dry lulav and an old Esrog as compensation, and told her they were kosher, and not to worry that the lulav was split. Which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Chav Tes Amud Beis stated, in Nikdam Rosh Pasul, if the lulav's top is clipped off, it's Pasul. Rav Huna said, they only taught this concerning the case where the top is actually clipped off, aval nistak kosher. But if it was merely split, the lulav is kosher. When a brice is brought that says a split lulav is Pasul, Rav Papa answered that the brice refers to a case where the lulav was made like a hymnok. Rashi explains the brice is not referring to a lulav whose leaves have split open, but rather to a lulav that grew in the shape of a hymnok, which is a metal tool used by sofering that is forked at one end. If the lulav grew in the shape, it appears to have two spines with the leaves reaching in opposite directions. Such a lulav is Pasul, but a lulav whose leaves have split open is kosher. All right, so that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman. Wishing you a great day and great learning.